In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's gospel is a parable that our Lord told about being prepared for His second coming. So like all of His parables, this is a symbolic story, an allegory. And He says that the kingdom of heaven should be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. So this is a party of young women who are prepared to welcome the bridegroom and the bride as well when he returns, you know, from the ceremony, when he's come in order to celebrate his marriage. And it says they have lamps. They each have lamps. Lamps give light, and they're a symbol of joy and celebration. And these are oil lamps. So half of the virgins are wise, and they prepare themselves for the possibility that the bridegroom might be delayed for a long time by bringing with them an extra supply of oil. But five are foolish. They just bring, you know, the oil that's in the lamp. It says that as the bridegroom was long delayed, they all fell asleep. But then when someone shouted, "The bridegroom is coming, he's about to come," they woke up. And the foolish virgins' lamps were going out. So they asked if they might borrow some of the oil from the wise virgins, but there was not enough to share. So they left to try to buy some more oil for them at that late hour, but there was no oil to be had. And so when the bridegroom came, the foolish virgins were gone. The wise virgins were there. The wise virgins were able to go in with the bridegroom in order to celebrate with him. But the door was shut against the foolish virgins, and they were not able to join the party. Now, as I said, this is a parable about being prepared for our Lord's second coming. He has promised that he will come again at a time that none of us know. None of us can know, but is certain to come, that he is coming in order to judge the living and the dead, to first of all raise up all of humanity, to resurrect all of humanity and transform us into an incorruptible form, and then to judge us and to determine who will be with him eternally in his heavenly kingdom of life, and who will depart from his presence and be in eternal death. So he is, of course, the bridegroom. And he is coming at the end of time to consummate his marriage with the church. The church who is called his bride by St. Paul in his epistles. He is the bridegroom who has promised to come, and yet he's been long delayed. And the virgins sleeping is a symbol of the fact that because Christ is long delayed, we will end up sleeping as well, sleeping in death as we await his coming. But when he comes, there will be a loud cry, "Behold, the bridegroom comes." There will be an announcement, as St. Paul talks about the sound of trumpets and the voice of the archangel. There will be some great announcement. And when that happens, all the dead will rise. Those foolish virgins, or the wise and foolish virgins, waking up is a sign of that resurrection, that rising from the dead. And then the wise will be prepared to go with him into his eternal celebration in his kingdom. But the foolish, because of their foolishness, not because they are disdained by the bridegroom, but because their foolishness takes them away from the presence of the bridegroom, they will be shut out of that eternal joy. Now, this parable is not, it has a more specific meaning, which we can learn by understanding there's a play on words here in Greek. In Greek, the word for oil is eleon, eleon. The word for mercy is eleos, almost the same word. And almost, and in several places in the Bible, in the writings of the church fathers, oil, eleon, is taken as a symbol for eleos, mercy. So think about the story of the Good Samaritan and how he pours onto the wounds of the wounded man wine and oil. So oil is a sign of mercy, and this Good Samaritan, of course, is showing mercy through that act. But here, the oil in the lamps is a sign of mercy. Mercy in English today, unfortunately, has a very kind of limited meaning. It means letting someone off the hook, you know, showing them mercy. They deserve something bad, and so you don't give them what they deserve. You don't give them the bad thing they deserve. That's not really precisely what it means in Greek. It has a much broader meaning. Mercy in Greek means to do good for people regardless of whether they deserve it or not. And so in the Bible we hear about works of mercy. Works of mercy, which include feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, giving shelter to those who are homeless, visiting those who are sick or in prison, who are lonely. And so these works of mercy, now it's not necessarily a work of mercy if you do that for your family or your friends, right? Because you're showing them kindness because of their relationship, and that's still a good thing. But mercy is something more, it's a step more. It's doing that for strangers. And as the Lord said, for people who can't repay you. Doing it simply as an act of love, as an act of kindness. So really, in a sense, it's charity. Though charity also has a bad meaning in English. It sounds bad. But the oil that the virgins have is a symbol of mercy. It's a symbol of the merciful works that they have done throughout their lives. By doing works of mercy, they've collected this oil that causes the lamp of their faith or of their spiritual life to burn brightly. But the wise virgins have been careful to gather as much oil as they can, right? To do as much mercy as they can, not limiting themselves and not holding back, not focusing on their own good or their own benefit, but focusing on doing mercy for others. And in that way, they've gathered up a surplus of oil so that they are prepared. But the foolish virgins, maybe they've done some works of mercy here and there, but they haven't been diligent. They haven't been diligent to gather up that surplus. And so, after they all sleep during death and they wake up, at that time, when Christ comes again, the foolish will start to realize they didn't do enough. That they were too focused on themselves. That they weren't selfless as our Lord has called us to be selfless in a perfect sense. Remember that when Christ describes the mercy of God, that he causes the sun to shine on, and the rain to fall on the wicked as well as the good, that's the mercy of God. When Christ says that, he says, the moral to this story is be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. That we should be perfect in showing mercy, the same way that God is perfect or complete in showing mercy. And so the foolish virgins, when they awake, they realize they don't have enough. And they want to borrow from the good virgins, and the good virgins, the wise virgins, they want to lend them, but they say, well, we don't have enough. We'd like to help you, but we don't have enough. So go quickly and buy some. Now, what does it mean to buy oil? To go to those who are selling oil. Who's selling oil? Who's selling mercy? Those who are in need around us, right? Those are the ones that we buy oil from during this life. We buy oil from them by showing them kindness and mercy. Our Lord describes this elsewhere as lending to the poor, because then they are able to welcome us into the heavenly kingdom. So by doing those, by actually letting us show them mercy, they're doing us a favor. They're selling us the oil that we need. They're preparing for us an entry into the kingdom. But the foolish virgins go, and there's not enough time, right? Because really, in order to display this point, our Lord kind of drags it out. But when Christ comes again and raises all from the dead, the judgment happens then. There's no time to go and buy more oil. There's no time to do more good works or mercy, the works of mercy, because the judgment is then. That's why we have to be prepared in this life for what's coming in the next. And so they are shut out because they are gone from the presence of the bridegroom. Those good works, those mercy, it's not just about earning brownie points, but when we are merciful, we put ourselves where the Lord is. Because the Lord is eternally merciful. And as he says in later in the same chapter of Matthew, actually, Matthew 25, that when we do good works for those in need, when we are kind to those in need, we are kind to him. When we feed them, we're feeding him. When we visit them, we're visiting him. So when we do these works of mercy, we put ourselves into the Lord's presence. When we don't, when we refuse, we remove ourselves from the Lord's presence. And when the Lord comes again, those who have removed themselves from his presence, those who have not focused on doing works of mercy with all of their heart in this life, will be shut out from the kingdom, shut out from the glorious wedding feast that our Lord has prepared for us. Because the truth is, we're not just those who celebrate, but the Lord is marrying us. He wants to be united with us eternally. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us in this life focus on doing those works of mercy, those kindnesses, with all of our heart, so we might put ourselves into the Lord's presence and might enjoy his presence for eternity. To him be glory, honor, and worship, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.